Galatians 6, from verse 11 to the end, verse 18. And so we come to the end of this letter, these thoughts on the letter of Paul to the Galatians. What does he say in these closing verses? Well, I think what he does here is put to us the stark choice. And we have to make a choice, my hearer. We have to make a choice here. Let me set it out before you. In verse 11 he says, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand." I think this indicates that he uses an amanuensis. He dictates the letter and somebody writes it. And I think myself there's evidence here of the affliction he had with his eyes, that his sight was not as good as it might be. And then he comes to his closing remarks. I think I can summarize it like this. He said, "You're being offered two ways here. I have preached to you the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have set before you the gospel of Christ. These law teachers are telling you that's all very well, but in addition to all that, you have to come under the law. You won't be saved. You won't be fully saved. You won't be saved unless you come under the law." And that's not just justification. As he has shown throughout the letter, what they mean is sanctification, assurance, liberty, joy, glory, whatever. The full aspect, the full panoply of the Christian experience must be by being under the law. Now, this is not an academic discussion. This is still with us today. There are teachers, books, hundreds of them, hundreds of sermons, thousands of sermons, where the doctrine is you come to Christ for justification and then you go to the law for sanctification and you go to your works and virtually the law then for your assurance. And I am convinced myself, and I try to put it to you, but if you're not convinced, read again the letter to the Galatians again and again until either you can answer the points that they made, answer Paul, or else you are persuaded by him. Law or gospel? Grace, Christ, the Holy Spirit, or law? That's what Paul has been saying throughout here. And the choice is stark here. Law, flesh, external, or Christ, gospel, the Spirit, internal. He says in verse 12, "These men are trying to make a good impression outwardly." The emphasis is upon the outward. Law is upon the outward. Let us be absolutely clear about it. Not even the law of God could change a man's heart. Law does not produce heart religion. At the very lowest and least level, what becomes a law becomes a standard to aim at and to break. Take the law against speed, over speeding in limits. As soon as you see a limit, what is the inevitable reaction? That's the minimum, isn't it? Command a child not to enter a room or to open a cupboard, and what is the natural tendency? Something which is forbidden is delightful. Stolen waters are sweet, says the Proverbs. Heart religion, outward religion, that's the choice, he says. Now, why they're compelling the law? They want you to be circumcised. Don't forget, circumcision is only the point of the needle. The thread is the law. They only do that because if you can get people onto law works, the offence of the cross and persecution is diminished and reduced. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. As soon as you can bring in the notion of law, you bring it into justification. You bring it into sanctification, you bring it into assurance, and you will take away the sting. You'll bring the whip of the law, according to Calvin, but the world won't persecute a preacher who preaches law. But they will persecute a man who preaches the cross of Christ. Another thing, verse 13, hypocrisy. I use the word, I believe that's what Paul is saying. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. External again. 2 points there. Boast about your flesh. I can understand why men preach law, because you can look out over a congregation and you can tell at a glance those who are obeying the law. What law? The colour of the suit the man must wear, the tie that he must wear, the kind of Bible that he must carry, and all those kind of things. Laws, laws, laws. And you can just look out at a glance and you can see 100 in a congregation, or 1,000 if you want, and you can tell, ah, he's a spiritual man. Ah, there's an unspiritual man over there, he's wearing the wrong suit. But what about man's heart? That's what counts. They must boast about your flesh. Conformity to law produces conformity to flesh. External is the heart that Paul is after. And then this word hypocrisy. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised. Let me just illustrate this by my own experience. I am not a Sabbatarian. Let me say that straight away. I've made that clear. What do you mean by that? Well, I'm not a Jew. I don't observe Saturday, Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. I'm not a Sabbatarian. I am not a Jew living in the Old Covenant. The Sabbath was introduced in the wilderness before Sinai, Exodus 16, and it fell being fulfilled by Christ when he completed the Old Covenant and rendered it obsolete. I am not a Sabbatarian. But I have many friends who are Sabbatarians, and I've been criticized for my view. I am a Lord's Day man. I'm not going to go into that now. That's a New Covenant principle. I find it in the New Testament, and I can argue it. But the Sabbatarians who argue with me, they say that I'm wrong, and they're Sabbatarians. Now, I'll use the word, and I mean it in love, but I'm going to say it bluntly. They're hypocrites. They don't keep Friday to Saturday sunset. They keep Sunday from midnight on Saturday night to midnight on Sunday night. And they do things on what they call the Sabbath, which are absolutely contrary to Sabbath principles and laws as revealed in Scripture. First of all, they've changed the day. There's no warrant in it for Scripture. They have no command. How can you change the unchangeable law of God? Do they change divorce? Do they adultery? Do they change blasphemy? Do they change all the? Do they change things that their women wish? No, of course they don't. But they change the Sabbath. Give me a text for it. Give me a text for it. And not a text. Give me a passage for it. Argue it out where this momentous change in the Sabbath came about. You can't find it. Right. But they argue with me, and yet I observe them doing things on what they call the Sabbath, which I would never do on the Lord's Day. Unspiritual things. Carnal things. Fleshly things. And yet they got the gall to accuse me of being lawless because I say I'm not a Sabbatarian. Now that's the thing I think Paul is saying here. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Of course they don't. And if these law teachers would only look at the curses of the law, they can say, oh, Christ has taken away the curse and he's left us, you know, with the doing of it, but not the curse. Give me a text for that. Christ has taken away the curse because he's taken away the law, my friend. He's fulfilled it for us. We're not under the law now. Anyway, this is the point he's making. Hypocrisy is here. Flesh is here. Verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the choice. Law or the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses or the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. Here is heart religion now. Here is heart experience. Of course, the gospel must enter the mind. Of course, it must govern the body and make us conformable to the gospel. Of course, I'm not saying a word against that. But it must spring from the heart. The law can only produce outward conformity. If I would be separated from the world, if I would have my love of the world taken away, if I would have love for God produced within me, how can it happen? I must be crucified with Christ. crucified to the world, and the world to me, then am I dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me, as Isaac Watts puts it. I can never boast in my outward conformity. It must be my heart experience. I want Christ to change my spirit within me, my soul to be given up to Christ, and that can only be by spiritual union with him. And circumcision, therefore, verse 15, nor uncircumcision. Law keeping is not what counts. It's a new creation. You see, here's the choice. A new creation or a conformity to the outward law, the old creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule that it is Christ, the law of Christ, even to the Israel of God. Now, he's not talking about Jews there. I haven't time to develop it now. My books have made my argument for me. But the Israel of God here is, of course, all true believers, Jew or Gentile. And if you put the two together, verse 2 and verse 16, the law of Christ and the Israel of God, what a way to finish this discourse, this letter. The Israel of God are under the law of Christ. The old Israel was under the old law of Moses, the law of God through Moses. But the new Israel, the Israel of God, is under the law of Christ. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, this law, this principle. Heart religion in Christ by the Spirit, the gospel. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. This is not stigmata. He's persecuted for Christ for saying these things. And of course, I know very well that somebody is saying antinomian even as I speak this now, sneering at it, and so on. I just say again, go over this letter, face it, read it out loud, and still dismissive me if you like, but I would be grateful if you would write to me and show me where I've got this letter wrong. I need to be put right, my friend, if you think I'm wrong. Please do so. And Paul finishes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Grace, Lord Jesus Christ, spirit. That is what it is, my friend. This is the choice. Flesh, law, rules, regulations, outward conformity to rules and regulations. That's one religion. Do you want that? That's Islam. That's popery. That's Jehovah's Witnessism. That's all that kind of stuff. That's doing my best. That's what it all amounts to. I speak to my believing friends who preach the law. That's what you're preaching, in effect. Don't do it. What does Paul stand for? What am I trying to preach? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel. Grace. The law of Christ in the heart. Crucifixion with Christ to the world. Inward, heart, spiritual experience, the love of God shed abroad in the heart. This is what Paul is talking about. Of course there will be conformity to the commands of Christ in the law of Christ. Of course there will be conformity. But it stems out of love for Christ, out of the heart, not outward conformity to rules and regulations. And the motive is not fear and the whip, but it's love for Christ and a desire to please him. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. And I say that to all my hearers. If you are in Christ, oh, may the grace of Christ be with us all, my friend. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with our spirit. And if anybody is listening to me who is outside of Christ, my longing is that even these words to believers may have some echo in your heart and bring you to a living faith in the Lord Jesus, then you too will have this experience of knowing Christ, being crucified to the world, and being alive unto God. The alternative is to be in the world and dead to God. Here is the choice then, Christ or law, law or Christ. Which is it for you, my friend? Which is it for you? I've told you my choice. Which is it for you? Is it Christ? For Christ is all. Let me confirm this by just one passage of scripture. There are many others. But let me confirm it by Romans chapter 2, from verse 28 to the end. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. And there's the choice again, my friend. Praise of men, praise of God. Outward, inward. Physical, spiritual. Law or Christ. That's the choice, my friend. Which is it for you?